Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. Later on in the program, Gab Marcotti will be here to reflect on another disastrous night in the Champions League for Juventus. But we kick things off in the Premier League. Huge match, of course, in North London. Arsenal take on Liverpool. This was quite an even contest until Jota broke the deadlock 9 minutes into the second half. 8 minutes after that, Firmino would make it 2 to the visitors. And from then on, it looked like there was only going to be one winner as Liverpool claimed the victory. And a huge win it is for Jurgen Klopp's side as it closes the gap on Manchester City now to just one solitary point. Don Hutchinson is with us. Don, was that the performance of the champions tonight?
Oh, I tell you what, Dan, what a second half performance it was. Arsenal, I've got to say, I give them credit. For 45 minutes, they were really good. But Liverpool just sort of strangled them in the second half. They got a grip of the game. Arsenal couldn't get out. They scored 2 good goals. I agree with Steve. Yeah, I felt loathed in commentary to sort of leave a little bit on Ramsdale because he's been immense this season. But that was a goalkeeping error. And then Firmino's finish. I mean, it just goes to show the strength of Jurgen Klopp's team when he can take Jota off and Diaz off and bring Salah and Firmino on. What a second half. And by the way, the title race is now on.
Yeah, I said that, Don. Thanks.
I just want to sort of repeat it. It's on.
Thank you. Stevie, the difference today was in the final third, wasn't it?
Yes. When you've got that ability at your disposal, then if you're the opposition, you can't make, number one, any mistakes. You have to force Liverpool's front three into beating you. You can't give them an inch because they take a mile. That's what they did. Yes, Ramsdale's made the mistake. But again, like good teams do, they get away with it at one end and they go up the other end and kill you. And you said it right at the start. It felt like a performance from a proper team, yeah. A team that knows how to win. Even when it's not at its best, it still figures a way out. A performance of champions, I'm not sure I'm going to say that yet.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, they're going to take some beating.
And this without Salah for the majority of the game, Don.
I know. Fabinho stepped up, I thought, Dan. I thought he was incredible, as he has been all season. They couldn't find a way, Dan, of getting the ball into Diaz and Jota, their first touches. And Mane, to be fair, were just off for 45 minutes. But the midfield worked incredibly hard. I think, in fairness, I think Arsenal sort of ran out of legs a little bit. They got a little bit tired. Martinelli was giving Trent a real game at right back. He was really, really good. And then, as I said, once that first goal went in, it sort of deflated Arsenal. The fans tried to stay with the team, but the second goal was the killer.
They need a striker in the summer, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they probably need... there's no question they competed with Liverpool for 50 minutes, up until the save from Alisson. So I think you've got to give them a lot of credit from where they were at the start of the season to where they are now. This is a team that can compete for the top four, which we have never said for pretty much, certainly last year. But they started getting momentum this year. They started figuring things out. You've got two players in Xhaka and Partey in the middle of the park who in the first part of the season, we were asking why were they even playing? Now they're doing a great job supplying the front players, particularly Martinelli and Saka. Odegaard had a poor night tonight, but he's been really good recently. And defensively, they've gone a lot tighter. So, listen, you've got to give them credit. They just got beaten by a proper team.
Yeah.
A team that, when they go and get stuff, they still are composed, they still understand that the way they do it is how you keep it going because it pays off. And that's all it was. They sort of ground down Arsenal. Yes, Arsenal ran out of steam, but I tell you, if you're Arteta, you're looking at this game and going, right, we've just got to add a little bit more talent and a little bit more legs and we will be able to compete.
We'll talk about their chances of the top four in a moment, but let's focus on the title race and take a look at how the bookies have things set. I think both of you have said that it's 50-50 pretty much from now until the end. And take a look at this. Still City, a big favourite, 9-4 on. Liverpool coming in at 7-4. I tell you what we've done is that we've put the schedule together for the remaining matches for both of these sides. Can we show that just to give you an idea who they've got to beat between now and the end of the season? From City, obviously, the game against Liverpool is massive. But apart from that, it is an ideal run-in, you would suggest, for Pep Guardiola's side. For Liverpool as well, obviously Manchester United don't quite hold the same sort of problems that they had. Merseyside derby, Everton in trouble, Spurs as well. Looking at that, Stevie, you prefer cities, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Burnley probably going down. Brighton are beginning to disappear. Leeds may go down. I mean, they're all games you think they should win, other than the obvious one, right? Pretty much near the top is the Liverpool one. Liverpool's, there are a couple of names there, Tottenham and Man United. But at the same time, we shouldn't get carried away, because Tottenham and Man United right now aren't the outfits that we think they should be.
Sure.
So, yes, on paper it looks more difficult, but the way that Liverpool are playing, it's kind of bring them on, whoever you are.
Is it all about the game at the Etihad, Don?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, like, we're talking about a Man City side that haven't beat Southampton and didn't beat Crystal Palace, and they're not exactly flying. I mean, they're still an amazing team, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, they're a phenomenal side. They probably should have beat Palace the other day, the chances they had. But you can't quite help, as it has been over the years, that this game is so, so important. You know, if Liverpool win this one, I believe, correct me if I'm not wrong as well, I think the Watford game, they play before Man City play Burnley, so Liverpool can actually go top before they sort of play each other. So that's going to be huge psychologically for Liverpool if they do win that and go top. Puts the pressure on then Man City. Then you go into that game and you think at the Etihad, what a game that's going to be. That is going to be crucial.
I look at both of these sides, City and Liverpool, and right now, in my eyes, Liverpool has one problem, and that is if they get attacked down the side of Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Right.
That is the only thing right now that you can look at and say, that's a problem.
And for City?
For City, they've got two problems. They've got no Diaz, who I think is huge for them, and they don't have that finisher.
Right.
They don't have it. So that to me is the difference between these two sides. Just that was that one problem.
Meanwhile, Spurs kept their slim hopes of qualifying for the top four alive with a 2-0 victory away against Brighton. Kulusevski's effort was deflected in by Romero to make it 1-0 in the first half. Then Harry Kane guaranteed the victory for Antonio Conte's side in the second half. Spurs winning by 2-0. Stevie, you were looking through Spurs and their recent results and you kept shouting 17 to me.
It's unbelievable. The last 17 games, they've won, lost, 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 won, lost. Was that 17?
I think maybe. I
wasn't absolutely
even
incredible.
It's nuts. So then the question is, can they put together a consistent run to really challenge for the top four?
Well, I would suggest that as a consistent run.
Yes, I think that is the epitome of inconsistent run.
Well, the problem is, it means that the way they're playing, I think they've got, what, 9 games left?
Yep.
So you're looking at maybe 4 wins. Because you've got to go on the form.
Right.
The form book tells
four
you...
4 wins isn't going to get it done.
It's not going to get it done for the top 4. So I would have to say right now, no.
Let's just remind you how things stand in the Premier League with regards to the top four race and the remaining matches for them all. You take a look at it. Arsenal, of course, despite that defeat, still favourites. 1 point clear of Manchester United. West Ham is still there and thereabouts. They're 2 points adrift. Spurs have that game in hand, don't they? So if they win that, they would go 1 point clear of Manchester United. But looking at this, Don, you'd have to be a very optimistic Spurs fan to think that you're going to break into that Champions League spot.
Just can't trust them, Dan. Can't trust them at all. I mean, you know, the ideal opposition when you play teams like Leeds, you know Tottenham are going to win. You know, when they play Brighton tonight, you know Tottenham are going to win. When they come up against a certain opposition, the standard's high and the standard's good, they fold and they lose. They weren't exactly brilliant tonight for the first half an hour of the game. And then they get the job done. But how do you rely on Tottenham? You know, you asked me, I think, 2 or 3 days ago, are Tottenham in the top four? And I went, nah, they've gone. They've gone. Then they win tonight and you go, oh, hang on. They've got a game in hand. If they can go back-to-back wins, they've got a chance. But as Stevie just said, Tottenham do not go back-to-back wins. So somehow they've got to go back-to-back wins, hit some form, go unbeaten for about 4 or 5. Then they might convince us it's back on again.
Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, plenty of them to talk about, will drop on Thursday. As always, you can check that out over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a night in Turin in the Champions League for Villarreal. Remember, it was 1-1 going into the second leg in Italy. Juventus had a number of chances in the first half, couldn't take them, and then they just collapsed. In the second half, Villarreal taking advantage, scoring three goals without reply as we welcome Gab Marcotti into the show. Gab, this is embarrassing, wasn't it, in the second half?
Yeah, it's a debacle, and I think inevitably people are going to compare it to early exits in recent years against Porto, against Lyon. I mean, this was different. This was Villarreal, who'd been up and down, and it looked like Juve were doing everything right but score in the first half. But it felt as if they're maybe playing into Unai Emery's plan. Unai Emery knows his knockouts competitions. He defended deep. He weathered the storm. When they had the opening, Rugani makes a mistake and it's a penalty. Juventus still under shock, and then they concede the second goal. And then from there, it's lights out. And, you know, somebody pointed out that, you know, if you play badly most of the time, it's really difficult to start playing well suddenly and keep that up for 90 minutes. And I think Juventus showed that this was the case.
Who's getting the blame, Gab?
It's a good question. I mean, look, as individuals, poor Rugani again for giving up the penalty, will be getting some blame. But I think some of this has to be on Max Allegri. You know, we've given him all the mitigating circumstances and Chiesa's injury and taking over and whatever else. But it did feel to me that over the two legs, even in the first leg, when, you know, Juventus seemed to have the game under control, they could have put it away there. I think that has to fall on him. And it wouldn't change the fact that, again, Juventus should be doing better against Villarreal. A Villarreal team, by the way, who had players missing, players coming back from injury as well. So I think you got to put it on Allegri, especially after the signings in January of Dusan Vlahovic.
Yeah, what does this mean for his future, Gab? Is it being questioned at all?
I'm not sure you can question him yet, because it is Allegri, and then certainly not mid-season. You know, he's still somebody who's trusted. He's somebody who Andrea Agnelli really wanted to bring back to the club. So I'd be surprised if there was a move against Allegri, certainly before the end of the season. And I think if he finishes top four and continues to narrow the gap at the top, then I think he's going to be back next year. But I think there's a lot of things to reevaluate and a lot of big calls to make, especially with contracts. What do you do with Paulo Dybala, whose contract is expiring? What do you do with Alvaro Morata, whose loan term ends at the end of this season? What will Chiesa be like when he returns next season? There's a lot of big calls that Juve need to make. And I think they're still paying for some of the excesses in terms of spending over the past couple of years.
I know it's easy to make generalizations from this, Gab, but you take a look at the teams that are remaining, three Spanish, three English, you've got a German and Portuguese side as well. How much is it an indictment on Italian football and the quality at the moment that we're seeing from it, in that we're going into the Champions League without any representatives from Serie A?
I don't think it's an indictment. I don't think it's anything necessarily new. I mean, I think everybody going out has their own history. I think the general level is much improved. And maybe near the top, you've had teams going backwards. Inter obviously winning the league, losing, as we know, Conte, Hakimi, and Lukaku in one fell swoop, and rebuilding. Obviously, you're going to pay a price for that. Juventus obviously losing Cristiano Ronaldo and having to rebuild. You're going to pay a price for that. But I don't think there's any question that, at the top end of the table, it's been another poor season in Europe for Serie A clubs. So what can I tell you? If you're a fan of Serie A, we're all Atalanta fans now. And a little bit Roma in the Conference League.
In the Conference League, let's not forget about that. Don, obviously you watch a lot of Italian football. Is it fair in the sense that the quality just isn't there?
Just yet, I think that's fair, Dan. In all honesty, I think they are rebuilding. I think Milan strike, or to me, I feel as though they're on the way back. I think the Serie A clubs are improving. Juventus, I think, have still got a way to go. I think the sign of Vlahovic was an excellent one. But as Gab said, I think they need investment. I think they need more quality. And it's all on Juve now to finish top four. It's a massive body blow for them. Losing in this manner, in Turin, at home, at this stage in the Champions League. But now they've got to try and bury that as quick as possible. Concentrate on the run, because the run in Serie A has been in pretty decent Juve. So they've got to make sure whatever happens this season, even though it's a failure, they must finish in the top four spots.
I mentioned three English sides through to the next round. Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea, of course. After their victory against Lille, things were pretty much set, weren't they? After that first leg win at Stamford Bridge, they went to France. A bit of a scare early on, with Lille being given a penalty to take the lead. Chelsea, though, responded. Christian Pulisic just before the break. Then Aspilicueta late on, giving Chelsea the victory. Not too much really to say about this, Gab, in the sense it went kind of the way we thought it would.
It did, and I think it showed that, Chelsea's still very professional, very focused, not necessarily affected by what's happening off the pitch. It's sort of a carrying on from what we've also seen in the Premier League with the win over Newcastle and that goal coming late. The players, all they can do, the players can do is push on while they wait what's out there. And I think, obviously we know how difficult it is to repeat in the Champions League and all this stuff, but I think Chelsea still have a whole gaggle of individual match winners. They still have the shutdown goalkeeper. I don't think they're an opponent that many would enjoy facing.
Percentage chance of them winning it all, Don?
Listen, I think they're turning into a cup side. I think there's better sides. I would hazard a guess at about sort of 20%. I've got no confidence in Chelsea. I don't think they've got it. I think there's too much turmoil at the football club. I think there's better sides left in the Champions League.
20%, Stephen?
Yeah, I would go with that. They might not be able to afford to travel to the final, so maybe it's no chance.
Where do you stand on their chances, Gab?
Well, I don't want to criticize Don or his percentages, and I fully agree that if you believe Liverpool, City, and Bayern, probably Real Madrid, are better teams than Chelsea, then surely Chelsea's percentage has to be lower than 20%, right? So for me, I have to go lower. I'll go 5, 10%.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, reigning champions, 5%. No good.
Oh, wow.
That's a double bluff for Gab, isn't it?
Double bluff.
Got to be.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely.
The draw will be on Friday, and we ask Gab for what he would like to see the draw come out like. Bayern Munich against Real Madrid, Manchester City against Benfica, Chelsea against Liverpool. Wait. Atletico Madrid against Villarreal. Stevie, what's your problem?
Why would Gab want to play Liverpool? Why would Gab want to play Liverpool?
He's not Chelsea, is he? He's Gab is a football fan.
Oh, no, it just so happens he's got a season ticket. No, he's got absolutely no interest in them at all. Surely you want Benfica.
Why do you want Chelsea-Liverpool, Gab?
Oh, just because I remember great Chelsea-Liverpool clashes from the past. And FYI, I also have access to a season ticket at Arsenal too. But unfortunately, yeah, Arsenal aren't in the Champions League this season. Yeah. I live in London, Steve. I go to football matches.
Yeah, what do you do? Nothing.
I've got one for Brentford.
Looking elsewhere, obviously Manchester City, Benfica. Gab, Benfica's the team that everyone wants. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would think so. Look, I mean, in the end, there's eight teams, right? Somebody has to play Benfica. I just think it would be interesting. I mean, obviously, given what happened on their last trip to Lisbon, I think Benfica could actually potentially give him a game. I wonder what Benfica learned from what happened across. I'm just thinking of the trolling between Sporting and Benfica fans. Who can do better against Manchester City? Real Madrid, Bayern. I love the idea of Carlo going back to his former clubs, and I mean that one's not difficult to figure out, right? And maybe tripping them up a little bit.
Yeah, there's always going to be games that are going to be very much the headliners. Don, you take a look at that Bayern against Real Madrid, it'd be exceptional.
Yeah, it would. I mean, you get to this stage and you're trying to plot which teams potentially could get through before seeing the draw. I mean, it's going to be incredible. I mean, as a neutral, I'd love to see a Man City or Liverpool face Real Madrid in the final. I think that would be some final.
Anything to add?
No, Chelsea-Liverpool would be a good game, that's for sure.
Well, yes.
Obviously, it'll bring back memories for Gab of when his team lost on a dodgy goal at Anfield. So, yeah.
Luis Garcia, our man, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
OK, well, of course, the draw will be on Friday. I imagine we may be looking ahead to it a little bit more on the next edition of the show, plus Barcelona in action against Galatasaray as well, and the Europa League, some other Europa League games which I've forgotten. West Ham Sevilla are playing as well, Stevie.
Yeah, tough one.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A big result in the Bundesliga title race. Borussia Dortmund meeting Mainz by 1-0. Axel Witsel's late strike enough to give them all 3 points. That is the difference between Bayern and Dortmund now at the top of the table. For more on this, let's welcome in Jan Hagen Fjortoff. Jan, there's a title race. It's happening.
It's only rock and roll, but I like it. Yes, I do. it's unbelievable. And we know in 3-4 games, then there is Bayern against Dortmund, and Dortmund will, of course, win everything. And it's Dortmund again, 2 games now in a row where they have been a bit mediocre, average playing, but still winning. I mean, that is the thing of Dortmund season. And maybe they can get Bayern a bit nervous. Maybe.
Where are you, Jan? You look like you're in a sort of party bus or something.
I am in a sunbed in Salzburg, in Austria. Very sunny Salzburg today.
Oh, I always get the impression that Jan's like dreaming and wishing that this is going to be a title race. I don't actually believe he thinks there's a chance.
Why?
Why?
You know?
I mean, every single time Dortmund get close, they absolutely throw it away.
But today was the opportunity for them to do that. They could have done that today. They could have thrown it away. Shut down the foot today, but they didn't. They scored late on, Stevie.
I always get the impression that Jan's just hoping rather than actually. Do you really believe, Jan? Do you believe?
I am so excited, Stevie. Can't
He's
you see it
to.
Now? I'm just feeling now that Dortmund will win the Bundesliga for the first time in 9 years, Stevie. I can feel your excitement all the way over the Atlantic.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Erling Haaland, of course, didn't score today. He's rubbish now, yeah. And that's it. That's it. Him done. Obviously, a lot of talk about this release clause. I do like seeing people tweet about it because almost immediately you come in and shut down what they have to say.
Yeah, what I have said this week is two things. I mean, you can see that Robert Lewandowski is so annoyed, is so angry at what's happening at Bayern. So what I said to yesterday was that I tweeted that Robert Lewandowski wants to leave Bayern. Bayern working very hard to get Erling Haaland as his replacement, but they just got an outsider's chance to do it. What has happened now in 24 hours is quite interesting. Well, Lothar Matthäus backed that, and he said that they should be happy that Robert Lewandowski is so a good guy, because everybody else would be so annoyed when the best striker in the world, being himself, Robert Lewandowski, every day you got to read about this blonde Norwegian come in and replace him. So Salihamidzic and Oliver Kahn, they're playing a high game because they could end up not getting Erling Haaland, very likely. And I can't say that word, so I find another word. Angry Robert Lewandowski and does not want to renew his contract, which is quite interesting, high-risk game for Bayern Munich. So the next 2-3 weeks will be very decisive because it's very close now that the decision is going to be made where Erling Haaland will play next season.
Do they know something that we don't? Because from the outside looking in, it seems a risk with very, very little chance of reward, in the sense that it's unlikely you're going to get Erling Haaland. You've mentioned it before, Real Madrid and Manchester City very much the front runners. You don't get him. Lewandowski's annoyed. He might just say, right, no, I'm going to leave. I'm off. I'm going to go to a club that appreciates me more. And there isn't a big line of world-class strikers that are going to deliver 40-plus goals a season that Bayern Munich could just suddenly parachute in. Choupo-Moting isn't going to give that to you.
Absolutely, and I think that, do they know something that we don't know? No, I don't think so. But what they have to put in, after 2 years of pandemic, they have to also think of the finances. And listen, Robert Lewandowski, best striker, I mean, one of the best number nines I ever seen in my life. And he is 34 this season. When his contract is up, he's 35. So if he wants another 2 years, he's 37. So I think that Bayern Munich, they got to try to get Erling Haaland. But that is a risky game because it's not very likely that they will get him. But what I don't understand is the way that Bayern Munich has communicated this, because when we've seen Salihamidzic and Kahn, the bosses at Bayern Munich at the moment, they're just talking, yeah, but first we have to do the Bundesliga, then we have to do the Champions League, and so on and so on. And you've seen that Robert Lewandowski had been so angry in interviews when he was asked after a game. They asked him, Salihamidzic said he's going to talk to him. Are they going to talk to me? I didn't know that. That is the first time I heard that. The agent, Sahavi, said today there has been no contact between us and Bayern Munich. And the Bayern Munich fan could be angry at me, whatever they want, but these are their leaders, can end up not having one top striker coming up this summer.
Which fans are the angriest at you, Jan?
Pardon?
Which fans hate you the most?
Well, I will always be protected by Craig Burnley and Manchester United fans, of course. but I've always tried, Dan, to when I have my opinions and I know my stuff, that I don't care about that.
Yeah, take that, world. Jan doesn't care, like water off a duck's back. Have a safe drive to Munich, Jan. Thank you very much. Just a reminder.
Thank you, boys.
The Bundesliga continues this weekend on Saturday. Bayern Munich taking on Union Berlin. That is the late game. And then on Sunday, Cologne against Borussia Dortmund. That's at 2:30. All of these matches live on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Don and Gab back with us to answer your tweets. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. Gab Marquardt and Don Hutchison in his Leicester City bedroom. We'll start with this one for you, Gab. Which one is likely to recover and reclaim their glory between Juventus and Manchester United?
Ooh. That's a really, really good question. I think it comes down to how you define glory. I would assume it's probably going to be Juventus for the simple reason that, at least domestically, you know, you're not facing two juggernauts like City and Liverpool, in the sense that, you know, Napoli, Inter and Milan are ahead of Juve right now, but they don't have the heft. They're not, you know, the finely tuned machines that City and Liverpool are. So I would suggest the road back is probably marginally shorter for Juventus, but because there's so many question marks around United. But I'll tell you what, both these teams need to take a long, hard look at themselves. There's too many people there who are making big decisions, who've been there a long time, and really should move on. You can't just keep blaming everything on the manager year after year. And this applies to both clubs.
Gab sounded like a stern father. You need to have a good look at yourself in the mirror, young man.
He's not wrong.
Well, no, he's not. They're both rubbish. Stevie, you've relentlessly said that Ligue 1 and Serie A are relatively weak leagues and none of their teams remain in the Champions League now. Can you see the future? Well, that's not difficult to predict, was it, really?
Well, you'd have to suggest that it's going to take something like the City owners or the people that have just moved into Newcastle to take over an AC Milan or an Inter and turn it into a PSG situation where they can buy the biggest and the best players because of the money. And then all of a sudden that could shift, and instead of PSG continue losing with all these great players, maybe a Juve or an AC Milan could turn into an actual successful team with a lot of money.
I have been stifling a smile throughout today's show because Stevie had some issues with his makeup today. Stevie, can you look, if you look that way, look that way and show everybody what I can see. So no, just turn your head to the left. And there's this massive clump of makeup here. How did you get that so wrong?
Well, because there was nothing to put the powder on, so I had to use my fingers. I'm with big time here, you know what I mean? No expense spared. Well, to be fair, the makeup girls are not here anymore.
Where's your thing? Where's your power? What do they call it?
I've lost it.
How did you lose that?
No idea. that's the kind of stupid question parents ask. What? How did you lose that? Well, if I knew, I wouldn't have lost it, right?
Well, it's not as if you're out and about with your makeup.
Well, exactly.
Thing, is it?
Well, I've no idea.
Gab, what will it take for Italian sides to be more competitive in Europe? It seems like each top team in Italy has older players who wouldn't play for top clubs in England and Spain.
Look, I know that's a stereotype. I think it's changing. It's just as with most things, it takes time to change. You know, I don't think that's the case at Milan. I think people like Tomori, like Kessi, like Theo Hernandez could play at top clubs in Italy and Spain, and you know, and even Juventus. You know, they're trying to get younger. Obviously, they have Vlahovic. Chiesa's injured, but you know, he's not super old. They just had two guys, Bentancur and Kulusevski, who they sold to Tottenham, who, you know, by your definition, may or may not be a big club in England. So I think it is changing, but the reality of it and the economics of it is that a lot of times these teams want to win straight away, and so they rely, I think, far too much on veterans on a quick fix, not realizing that those guys then cost you money down the road because they're more expensive. I think Milan have shown that the way forward is by investing money on youth. Inter slowly are getting there. And Juventus, I think, are also moving in that direction. But, you know, when I look around, yeah, I see a lot of old players, but, you know, I also see Osimhen, Barella, the guys I mentioned before, Bastoni. It's not all like that.
Stevie, why was Ronaldo blamed for Juventus' downfall and they've been beaten by Unai Emery by 3 goals in Italy?
Well, whoever blamed him, I think, was being a little harsh. Because the truth is, certainly the way I saw it, he was brought in for them to win the Champions League. And in the Champions League, he scored goals. Mm. He did his job. Right. It was the rest of the team that didn't do the job. So I find it difficult to agree with anybody that is blaming Ronaldo for the problems that Juventus are having. He did his part, as far as I'm concerned.
Has he been the easy scapegoat, Gab?
There's no question that Ronaldo cost them an enormous amount of money. And obviously that was money that if they hadn't signed him, they could have spent on other players. But looking at some of the other players they spent money on, you know, you're almost glad that they didn't have that extra money to spend on other players because they would have got mediocre ones. So you're better off with Cristiano. There's no question, though, that, you know, he wasn't helped. 3 different managers in 3 seasons. I think a lot of the direct blame on Cristiano was more like philosophical, like should you have spent the Cristiano money differently, and maybe a little bit their elimination last year when he was in the wall for that free kick, and a lot of surly ex-pros like Craig Burley had a go on him at him because he didn't like the way he defended in the wall.
Just how good is Unai Emery, Don? Would Manchester United consider him?
Probably not, because they look at the wrong ones. They should be considering people like Simeone, who put on a masterclass the other night. I think they're all over the place, in all honesty, Dan. You talk about Man United, you could fill about 5 shows. There's so much wrong with them, the culture there, the DNA there. And there's a lot of moaners there. I mean, if Bruno Fernandes spent as much time closing down and showing for the ball as he does moaning, he'd be some player. So I don't know what Man United are looking for.
Don, Firmino got a yellow for celebrating with the fans today. That makes no sense. Have you received a yellow card for no reason?
Yes, playing for Sunderland against Liverpool in the stadium, and I scored the first goal in the game. Immediately then just dive-bombed myself into the Sunderland end. Got loads of adulation, just got loads of hugs, loads of kisses. Got back on the pitch. Boom, yellow card.
Oh, man.
Worth it.
Well, that wasn't for no reason.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Oh, man. Would you like that, Stevie, jumping into the crowd?
No.
No? Why not?
Well, there's a reason you get a yellow card, is because somebody could get hot.
Yeah, Don.
Somebody could get hot.
Like I'm going to jump in the crowd and give someone a hug and someone's going to get hurt.
No, but well, they're stampeding. Everybody wants to touch
you. They're all crushing.
It's Don. We're excited.
It just takes a couple of people to fall, then they all start falling, and then somebody gets hot.
There was millions of them, to be fair, trying to get to me.
Go on, Gap.
No, I was just going to say something on Kai, that it depends who jumps into the crowd and, you know, how many fans are there and how eager they are to go and touch him and get a piece of him. In Don's case, as we heard, you know, clearly Sunderland fans are all moving in an orderly queue to go and get their piece of Don Hutchinson.
That's it.
Do you remember the guy who scored and went over to the stand that was empty and sat in a chair and started clapping?
Yes.
Now, that's when you don't get... The guy got a yellow card for that. That's when you shouldn't be given a yellow card, because that's
great. Comedy. Comedy.
That's great.
Everything you want.
Not putting people in harm's way.
Yeah, Don. Right, from a matchup point of view, in the next round of the Champions League, what is an ideal matchup for Liverpool? Who do you want, Stevie?
Benfica.
Who next?
Villarreal.
Who next? Atleti?
Well, we can't get them, I don't think, can we?
Why can't you get Atleti?
It's
a free draw.
I wouldn't have a problem playing against Atleti.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought them up.
Okay, well, I'm pleased I could help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real Madrid or Bayern? Who then?
Stevie.
Bayern. Don't really want.
Stevie, wouldn't you rather have somebody like City so you could knock them out and that way you wouldn't face them later in the competition?
I don't want to play them till the end. I think after Liverpool, you could argue they're the best team in it now, but right. I guess they're the favourites.
Yes.
But why would you want to play the favourites before the final?
Oh, because what a statement.
No.
Then they're out of the way.
No, thank you.
No.
What?
No. So who would you want to avoid second? Chelsea, well, Bayern, Real Madrid, I suppose.
We're starting to get into the realms of choosing your poison.
Right.
Because
which poison would you choose?
Because the truth is, we can sit here and say that City and Liverpool are the favourites.
Right.
But very close behind are Madrid.
Yeah,
Bayern.
Which one would you
I would say Madrid
after City.
I would say
Real Madrid, really?
Yeah, I would say Madrid.
Yeah? Would you agree, John?
Yeah. You wouldn't want to play Man City. You wouldn't. I don't know what Gab's gone on about there. You want to play Man City now, so you don't have to play them in the final. They could easily beat Liverpool, Gab. You want an easy run to the final.
Oh, is that the strategy? Then you lose in the final.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
No, but you're going to lose. You want to lose in the final.
I was kind of winding Stevie up a little bit about that. But I think as a neutral, I think, you know, sure, it would be cool if they met in the final, but I want to see big games every round. So I would have no problem if we saw, you know, a genuine game, a genuine rivalry. I'm pretty sure Liverpool wouldn't want to play another Premier League side like Chelsea either at this stage. I hope we get that rather than, you know, we'll get at least, I think, one heavyweight clash, obviously, just because of the numbers game. But I'd rather see that than just see, you know, Liverpool, Benfica, and City, Villarreal, or whatever.
Final question. It continues the Champions League theme, Don. What's the percentage that an English team wins it all?
What, the Champions League?
Yes.
Three of them in there. Don't think Chelsea can win it.
0%.
Right.
Didn't he give them 20% on the show?
He did,
Gab.
He gave
20%
on the show. The knowledge in Gab knocked them down to 5, so I respect the knowledge.
There's not really 20, is there?
25.
You cannot say 20.
Say again?
25.
No. An English team will win the Champions League.
Yeah, about 25%.
So a 75% chance that Manchester City won't, that Chelsea won't, and Liverpool won't.
No, other way around then.
Oh dear.
Because just the cogs are turning. There's just cogs turning and wheeling.
Do you know when you're desperate not to say the wrong thing, you forget about the right thing to say?
That is it. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. A little bit more maybe on the draw. Plus, we'll be discussing those Europa League ties as well.